We are all miracles and must make the most of our limited time here. Each of us have these unique gifts to contribute, and it's our job to develop these gifts and give them away. The preschool SLP is about working smarter to create real change in ourselves and in others. Being an SLP is a mission. Let's discuss topics that matter. What are the game-changing strategies? How can we treat the whole child? How can we create the shiniest versions of ourselves and of our clients? We're here at the drawing board for a reason. Together, let's create better. If you work with children with speech sound disorders, this is an episode for you. We are going to talk about just how important what tests you choose when it comes to determining whether or not a child is eligible for services, or also when it comes to determining how much gains they make with your speech therapy, because the tests are very different from one another. And depending on what test you pull off the shelf to test that child will answer whether or not this child is eligible. So let me dive into what I found, a little history. At my school, there's two assessments that we use for speech sound disorders. The first is the Goldman-Frisco test of articulation 3. This is the most widely used test according to the research by speech pathologists today. It's estimated that 30% of speech pathologists use this as their go-to test when it comes to evaluating speech sound disorders. Now, the other test we use is the Clinical Assessment of Articulation and Phonology 2, known as the CAP 2. Now, this test is actually my personal favorite. So these are the two assessments that we use. Now, what I wanted to share with you today is the difference in the findings with these two tests when we look at the same child taking both tests. Now, I love using this. It's called N of one research, and that's where you have the child against the child. It's better than an identical twin, because with an identical twin, you're going to have different environmental experiences. But with the same child, you have the perfect control. There's nothing different. To control for the order effect in which the child performs differently, whether the test is given first or last, I also controlled for that by giving half of the children the test first, test B, the Goldman-Frisco test of articulation, and half of the children the other test, let's call it test A, the clinical assessment of articulation and phonology. Then they had the other test. So I controlled for the order effect. So everything was the same except for the test. And what did I find? I found a big difference. In my district, we use a standard cutoff of below 85. So if we were looking for a child that qualifies for speech sound disorders, it would be below 85. Now, of course, there's other factors. There's the connected speech sample. There's the impact the articulation impairment has on their functioning in the classroom. But as a test score, 85 is our standard that we use in our district. Now, every state is different when it comes to what the standards are for qualifying. Some states, you need to be 2 standard deviations below, some 1 standard deviation, some 1.5. So there's so much variability in the United States of whether or not you're going to qualify for a speech sound disorder. Some states, you don't even need a test score. You just need a language sample and clinical judgment. Back to research that I've done. When we look at these two tests, there was a big difference. And what we found is the children did much better on the Goldman-Frisco test of articulation 3 than they did on the CAP 2. So we gave all of these tests within a 2-week period to the children to also control for maturation. So we have the same child taking different tests with different results. What does that mean? That means that it's going to change whether or not the child is eligible for services based on what you grab off the shelf if you're using a test score. So if I would have grabbed the CAP 2 off the shelf, all 19 children that I assessed, they would all qualify. All children would qualify for speech sound disorders because they all had a score, which for my district we use was below 85. However, if I were to have grabbed the Goldman-Fristo test of Articulation 3, the other test available at our school, in that case, only 12 of the 19 children would have qualified. 7 of the children would not have qualified because they would have scored above 85 standard score for speech services. So this is a huge difference that we're talking about here. This is almost a 40% difference, right? And whether or not you grab that test off the shelf, which literally I have them both right next to each other on the shelf that I get to pick. And it's all based on the test you're going to give. So that said, that's one reason why you really want to pay attention to the test you choose. Now, I choose the CAP 2 because I like the content on the CAP 2. It gives me the information I need to know. I like that it does not assess sounds in the medial position of words. Because what I found is if the child has it in the beginning of the word, if they have the sound at the end of the word, the medial position of the word naturally develops. I have never come across a child where the child has it in the beginning of the word and they have it at the end of the word and they don't have it in the middle of the word. Knock on wood, not yet. So I have not come across that as of yet. I'm sure it's coming my way. I don't want to waste my time. I do not want to waste my time testing children to see whether or not they have the sound in the middle position of the word because I'm confident it's going to naturally develop. And my time is of the essence. And that's because I'm looking at now 50 children. I have about 47 to date. I'm a 4-day-a-week speech language pathologist for the public school setting. All right, getting back to this. So what we have here is we have this big difference, and this is very high stakes. Whether you grab the Gifted 3, and that's okay if that's the test you grab, that's the most popular test out there. That's the test that the research indicates that 30% of current practicing speech pathologists in the United States, that's their go-to test. You're not wrong if you're using the Gifted 3, just to know that your results are going to be very different if you use a different assessment. And the test you pick off the shelf does matter. Now, the second reason we need to pay attention to the test, a lot of my children from early intervention, my early intervention colleagues were preferring the GIFTA 3. So they would come to me with a GIFTA 3 score. So let me give you an instance that happened this last week, because for progress reports, I give the test. And the reason I give the test for progress reports is because I care about generalizable gains. And that's because I'm doing the complexity approach. So you know that my children are scraping and they're flying and they're freeing and they're doing all of these crazy things with their consonant clusters, which are really complex. And as a result, there's a cascading impact in which the earlier sounds are naturally developing. So what I was going to share with you here is I care about the generalizable gains. So my children who are 3 years old, they are not spontaneously saying scrape. We don't change the order of development. However, they are spontaneously producing the earlier developing sounds. Oh, here's the F, here's the V, here's the S, here's the Z, here's the sh, here's the j, here's the cha, here's the dr. So these sounds are naturally developing because I'm focusing on the hardest sound in our language, scrape, S-K-R. So that is how the complexity approach works. I don't care about how well they're doing on scrape. I care about the generalizable gains and how well they're doing in all the sounds in the language. We have 4 progress reports a period. I test them with the single word test. I use the CAP 2. That's my go-to test. And I use that for the 4 marking periods. And as a result, I get generalizable gains. I can see how they're doing on the sounds that I'm not directly targeting. By doing it this way, I'm also not simply doing the practice effects. A lot of speech pathologists think they're being so diligent with their data, and every single session they're doing probes and they're testing the child on their target every single session. And at the end of the day, is this really generalizable functional communication gains, or is this really just practice effects? So I look at that as a waste of time because you're looking at the practice effects, something that you do 150 times a session and you do it every session, you should get better at. However, that does not mean that you're a better communicator. So anyhow, I had all these children from early intervention and I have their scores from the GIFTA. Now I'm going to give you an example from this last progress report period, which was 2 weeks ago. So I had a child that I received in January from early intervention, and he had a standard score of the GIFTA 3, and the standard score was a 75. And I was testing him in March for my progress reports, and I gave him the CAP 2 because I love the CAP 2, was 79. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This child was a final consonant deleting. He was syllable deleting. He was even initial consonant deleting. He has made such huge gains. Why is the score difference from a 75 to a 77? This doesn't add up. Let's give him the golden Fristo test of articulation. I really want to see if you're making progress with me or not. I like to think I am, but I just want to make sure I'm not just drinking my own Kool-Aid here. So I gave him the GIFTA 3 because that's what early intervention gave him in January. And I gave that to him in March. And the test score was an 89. So we're looking at a child that had a 77 on the CAP 2, who had an 89 within the same week on the GIFTA 3. So this child's 3 years old. Now that's a big difference, right? So what we're looking at here is why you also want to make sure to use the same test. If you want to see how effective is my intervention, do I have generalizable gains? Don't give the child the GIFTA as a baseline or the CAP 2 as a baseline, and then the GIFTA because it's apples to oranges or grapes to grapefruits. These are two very, very different fruits that you're assessing. You want to keep the measurement that you're using the same. Okay, so that is a little quick episode today to talk about speech sound disorders and the importance of the speech test you're choosing. Now, I want to say the GIFTA 3, do I have anything negative to say about it? Not at all. All I'm saying is that if you're going to use the GIFTA 3, then use the GIFTA 3 for post-testing. And also realize that you're going to get very different gains depending on the test that you're selecting. A little note about the GIFTA 3 and the CAP 2 that I find interesting. When you look at their norming groups, it's the same size. They have every 6 month intervals. There's approximately 100 children in each of the norming groups. However, I will say the GIFTA 3 has better test reliability in that the bell curve, when they look at their standard scores, is really matched up with the other scores. You have less reliability, I found, when you look at the CAP 2. The numbers and the age equivalents and the percentiles, they are off. We see them, they're more on target when you're looking at the bell curve of the GIFTA 3. So once again, I'm not by any means making a comment that the CAP 2 is better than the GIFTA 3. I'm saying for my needs, the CAP 2 takes me about half the time as giving the GIFTA 3 does. When you have a big caseload and you have a small amount of time to work with, that really does make a difference. I want you to think twice before it comes to what you're going to pull off the shelf. That said, roll up your sleeves and make the world a better place. One child at a time, you're always going to be first. And also make sure to join me at speechpathology.com for the month of April.